This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It is a very welcome to Been There, Done That for this week with Gordon.
And Phil.
And Phil, yes, we're a bit short of Colin today, so we don't know what's happened to Colin, but I'm sure he'll probably turn up eventually, hopefully, anyhow.
Our fingers are crossed.
Yes. Okay, and we're here for the next hour. We've got all sorts of stuff to talk to you about. We've got some gay icons and dicons, and we've got some bits of history and bits of stuff and things that have been going on in this world of ours over the years that have some sort of effect on our way we think these days.
You might even find us informative.
You might even do that, Phil.
If you hang around long enough.
Yeah. And we could start off the day with a couple of little things.
Well, we should acknowledge the football.
We should acknowledge the people that are following the football. That's true too. It was a great game, Phil.
Very closely fought.
Yeah, and it was well fought, actually, I thought. It was.
I thought so.
You thought so.
I thought it was fought well.
I thought there was a lot of controversy about the umpiring. The Sydney Swans felt they didn't get enough free kicks or something. But
they lost. They have to say that.
Yeah, well, I was having lunch, we sort of mentioned that we didn't notice the umpires.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I thought they did a very good job, actually. Yeah. And I thought the end of it, I thought the Bulldogs had actually run the Swans into the ground, because in the last 15 minutes when they ran away with the game, the Swans sort of couldn't catch up when they were running for the ball, you know.
Well, they had Franco Kotso on their side.
Oh, is that what it was?
Go Footers Grey.
Yes, it was Go Footers Grey. Yes, there was a photo of him in the paper the other day. On Sunday morning, they had a photo with a Footers Grey on it. Yeah, and I thought, good on you. It was a very funny advert. Very, very clever man. Mm. So after the football, of course, we had to revert to just the normal now. And it's congratulations, anyhow, to the Footscray people. And they did have a great celebration with the win. So
they did seem to enjoy winning, didn't they?
Well, I think everybody enjoys winning. I think we're all sort of winners one way or another, aren't we, really?
Well, that doesn't say much for the last 50-odd years.
Doesn't say much for the 50-odd years of the Saints last one either, and Melbourne as well. Anyhow, forgetting football right now, but because coming up on the, we just want to mention this, give it a bit of a pre-publicity thing, is the Northside Bazaar.
Which is bizarre and well worth going to.
Well, yes, it's well worth going to. It's on at the Laird Hotel, and it's on the 15th of October. And I'm sure you'll be hearing all about it, a lot more about it, as the time gets closer to that. I know that it's a part fundraiser for Joy and for the David Williams Fund from the VAC, and that's always a couple of great things to be supporting is Joy and the VAC's David Williams Fund.
And am I correct in saying it's the only time of the year you can go if you're a girl?
That's right, yes. The Laird is usually a men-only place, but now it's on that day it's women as well. Women are also invited, and the women go along there and they have a great time.
Because they've broken the glass ceiling.
Yes, or something like that. Yeah, Joe and I did one year there. We were the sausage cookers, and I forget how many sausages we cooked, but we cooked hundreds of the things, you know. And
you don't cook sausages at those events.
Oh, you barbecue them.
You sizzle them.
Oh, you sizzle them, do you? We were sizzling the sausages. Okay, right. So that's fine. Good one for that. But that's the Northside Bazaar on the 15th of October. A great place to be on that. And when the weather's lovely, it's great to be out in that courtyard. It's really, really sweet.
Yes,
really
nice. And that's an unpaid political statement supported by Joy.
That's exactly right. Too true. Now, there's a couple of people that are having their birthdays this week. And one is I don't know whether he's still the mayor of Berlin, is Klaus Wowereit.
We'll just call him Klaus.
call him Klaus, because we're not quite sure how you say the...
Well, it's Wowereit.
Ereit.
Oh. I lost letters and I'm just reading it.
Oh, right. Okay.
We'll call him Klaus Wow.
Klaus, yes. So Klaus is there. So he's having his birthday on the 1st of October.
Yeah.
That was last Saturday. Was it? Yes, Saturday. Well, of course, it was the first day, the first Saturday in the month when they played the grand final.
And
yes,
he came out just before running for mayor, and he was trying to beat the newspapers in outing him.
They were going to out him, were they? Yeah, oh, right. So that's sometimes the media do those things, and they shouldn't really do it. It's not fair, you know.
Yeah, but in 2010 interview in Time magazine, he said that coming out may have actually strengthened his campaign.
Yeah, could possibly have done. Yeah, why not? Wouldn't it? Berlin's a lovely city. Have you been there?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Ah. Well, our Chris, who is normally the chief
yapper
fella here, the chief cook and bottle washer of Been There, Done That, he goes to Germany quite.
Well, he's there or close to there now, isn't he?
I think he's been to Germany because he has great friends in Germany, and he goes off to Germany every year. He spends a few weeks.
Gee, what would you do in Germany in October?
Well, it's quite a pleasant month, actually. It's still autumn. It's not quite into winter.
Excuse me, but that's Oktoberfest.
Oh, the Oktoberfest.
I was trying to be sarcastic.
Right. Yeah, well, you could go to the Oktoberfest, yes. That's in Munich, though. That's not in Berlin.
Oh.
Yes. So,
see, I'm so knowledgeable.
And Munich, I think, is in the south of Germany rather than south from Berlin.
Most of my knowledge comes from National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Yeah, well,
which I believe was filmed some time ago.
Yes, that's true too. Now, also, we've got having a birthday is Annie Leibovitz. Now, Annie Leibovitz is a brilliant photographer. She's been around for a long, 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 long time. She's photographed almost everybody that's anybody. She did a wonderful setup with the Queen, actually. She took the photo of Queen Elizabeth, and the Queen, she asked that the Queen not wear something or other, and the Queen sort of looked at her askance, apparently, but took it off because Annie knew that if she had it on, it was not going to make a very good photo.
Well, Annie would have to be the celebrity photographer of our generation.
Oh, you would say so. Yes, yes. And there's photographs. She's taken photographs in the most unusual places. She was on top of the Empire State Building or something or other, crawling out on one of the parapets or something or other to take a photo of somebody.
And I was just going to say, there's a lot of people take photographs from the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, but she was photographing back into the tower rather than out of the tower. I've seen a photo of her sitting on this sort of ledge, and I thought to myself, you've got guts, dear, you know, for doing that.
You've also got assistants who send them out there.
Yeah, well, she probably had a safety wire on or something rather that we couldn't see. You would hope so, yeah. But, she's having her birthday on the 2nd of... That was yesterday, so, well, it'd be today in America, wouldn't it? Because our 3rd of October would be their 2nd of October with the time
And they
difference.
Would have just lost their daylight savings when we got ours.
Do they do the same thing on the same time?
Yep, because I think we've all gone out to 6 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, well, that may not be right. Let's not quote me on that one.
Oh, we won't quote you on that one.
Because I know it wasn't true when I was living there. There was a gap.
Right.
Which meant you had to remember so many times what time it was in Melbourne to either make a phone call or send a fax or something.
Well, you've got that. You've still got a problem with that here in Australia now because Queensland don't go on to daylight saving. West Australia don't. So if you
don't have to worry about time with those people. It's worrying what year it is that really gets you down.
Yeah, I guess so. But
it's still 18:32 in Brisbane.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that the temperature or the time?
Well, 18 to 32 sounds about right.
Yeah, too true, too true. Yeah, but it's daylight saving. I don't mind it, but sometimes I think, oh, God, it takes me 2 days to get over it. I'm a bit like jet lag with daylight
saving.
It's
a mini jet lag.
Yes, yeah. It takes me a couple of days to sort of readjust to the time clock because I don't look at my watch very often or look at clocks very often. I just sort of know what time of the day it is. I don't know why, but it's sort of something that happens.
But it's good timing this year because we were wasting sunshine at 6 a.m.
Were we?
Last week, yep. It was too bright at 6 a.m. and today it was dark, and that's good.
Oh, you like to wake up in the dark rather than the daylight.
Yeah, and then after dinner, I can go out and walk the dog.
Well, of course you can, yes.
Because I don't want to do that in the dark.
Oh, well, so Eddie would appreciate being able to walk in the dark, or walk in the daylight, I guess. Okay. Well, I think it's about time we had a little bit of music. What do you reckon?
Well, I'll clear my throat and get my guitar.
All right. Okay. Well, this is Life Goes On, which it certainly does. You're here on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Gordon and Philip.
Phil.
Right. Let's listen to Leanne Rimes now and Life Goes On.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Gordon and Phil, and we are going to welcome in someone that we know around the studio a lot, Tim. Tim,
hello,
our newsreader. How
hello.
Are you, Tim?
Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for...
See, now it sounds like we're on the news.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yes, so we've got... And it's, all news is good news. Now, Tim, you're of a certain age like the rest of us, so that's fine. So you go in for being there, done that.
Because yeah, I qualified to be
you've been there.
It's Seniors Week, isn't it, this week?
It is Seniors Week, and that's what we were going to be talking about.
Okay.
There's lots of things involved in Seniors Week, and a lot of fun. It can be very, very interesting. You can do all sorts of weird and wonderful things, and it's something that you can look up in. Where do we find out from this there?
Well, I've got some details on what's called the New Moves High Tea.
That's all right, doesn't it? Sounds good.
Well, High Tea sounds good.
Yep.
It's this Friday, the 7th of October, 2 p.m. till 3:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
At the Yarra Room of the Melbourne Town Hall.
Right.
And we've been there. It's fancy.
We've been there. That's where Joy had their 21st birthday party at the Yarra Room. And it was a great place to be. So yeah.
Now, it's a free event, but bookings are required.
Yes.
So we'll give people a second to get their pencils ready.
Right.
Because the contact is Catherine Barrett, who we talked with last week.
Yes,
we talked with.
Yep.
And her email address is CatherineBarrett13, all one word, at gmail.com. So just send her a note. Say you'd like to attend the New Moves High Tea.
Yep.
And she will take your details.
That's right. Yes, and it should be quite a lot of fun. They've put a lot of work into doing that. So, Tim, would you be interested in going to High Tea?
I have been to High Tea, and I loved it. I went to one for a friend of ours, had a birthday, and he celebrated with High Tea.
Yep.
I think it was his 65th birthday, and it was held at High Tea, was held at the Windsor.
Oh, right. Yes, they specialised in those sort of things, didn't they?
Yes.
They also have high-priced tea.
It was very expensive.
Yeah. The and so if you want to do that, that's on this Friday, coming Friday, at between 2 and 3:30.
Yep.
And you, Catherine Barrett, at CatherineBarrett13
at gmail.com.au.
Not .com.
Gmail is.
But you can also find out a lot more about what's going on with seniors on the government website. They've got a website that tells you what's on for seniors.
Yep. So again, whip those pencils out.
Yep.
It's seniorsonline, all one word, .vic.gov.au.
Oh, good.
And that'll have, well, there's many events over the week.
That's right. They will have a whole list of things that you can do. And also, you also get free travel if you're a senior this week, too. You can you must use your MyKey, but you don't get charged.
That's right. Well, they do that automatically at weekends anyway for seniors.
Right. Yep.
Seniors card holders, but this is the extension of that.
Yep. You can go anywhere in the state for free, but you just use your MyKey card and you won't get charged.
That's right.
Because you need your MyKey to get through the barriers at the station.
Well, that's right.
Things.
Well, you can use, well, of course, we do use MyKey now for some of the regional areas.
That's right, yes.
But that's gradually being extended.
Yes.
So I believe that's fine. But what they do, you also get a little voucher.
That's right. Yes.
For which we can go to Mildura and back for the day, or
that's right.
Mildura one day and back the next sort of thing.
Yeah. I think last year David Hunt from the Art Show and Friday Drive and I went up to Ballarat with those free tickets and to see the Archibald Prize exhibition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we went up there, but I tell you what, the train was packed going up there and coming back. Everybody was on the same boat, I think.
Well, of course, and now you use the MyKey. You don't have a ticket. Need to have a ticket.
That's right. Yeah.
For Ballarat,
yeah,
because I went there just recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, Tim, I've got to know about Tim. You have been around for a number of years, but you started off very early in radio, didn't you? Or were you published?
First time on radio was with Joy.
Oh, right.
That's 22 years. So I've been at Joy though.
Yeah. And that's a long time too. Yes, reading
still
the news,
an apprentice.
Doing the news. But you started in publishing press, didn't you?
Oh yes, I'm a print journalist. I'm a print journalist actually.
Yes, that's right.
Initial training was on daily newspaper down in Warrnambool.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, and you do photography.
Homer Fletcher Jones.
Yes, Homer Fletcher Jones.
Yes,
of course.
I used to call him Uncle Fletcher.
Did you?
Because he and his wife and my parents, but both pairs knew each other before either pair were married.
Oh,
so they
right.
go back that far.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was one of those honorary uncles
yes.
you get. Because when you're young, you can't...
I don't know whether young children these days have these honorary uncles and aunties, do they?
I think they do. I think I've heard it being heard. I'm not sure. Perhaps our listeners can let us know in due course.
Well, they could probably do something like that too, yeah. Now, also, we're celebrating this week on the 2nd of October, which was this week, is the law that allowed people to do swim in the daylight. That was passed in 1902.
I thought you were going to say in the nude.
No, that was just to go swimming in the daylight, Tim. And it was at Manly Beach. There was a man at Manly decided that he was going to break the law, and he broke the law three times by swimming during the daytime.
My gosh.
Yes.
Oh, terrible.
And, of course, men and women weren't allowed to swim together. Or anything like this.
Oh, no.
No. It was terrible. But this bloke, Mr. Gocha, decided he was going to break the law, and he broke it three times, and went swimming, and they eventually realised that they better do something about it, so that they actually changed the law. You've been reading something very quickly there.
Right, it's just they changed the law. It wasn't a great change, but it allowed neck-to-knee swimwear.
Yes.
So you could swim in the daylight. Yes. You might as well have a three-piece suit on.
Yeah, well, you've got to remember that in the old days it was quite prudish. Women weren't allowed to show their ankles or something, you know, and there's all this business and thing went
yes.
on.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, even so, in Victoria, and where I came down in southwestern Victoria, they used those areas in the early days they had a different pool. They had a women's pool and a men's pool.
Yes.
That's in the ocean. They had these little coves, and they had those restricted to either men or women. You never together. And even then, that was neck-to-knee type work.
Where did babies come from in those days?
Oh.
Obviously not swimming pools.
No, a stork bought them.
Ah, that explains it all.
Yes, it was all. It's amazing. And you see, in those early days, of course, they had the men's pool and the women's pool I spoke of. In the men's pool, they would swim naked.
Right.
You know, that because they had,
we need more of that
they
now.
Had to be separated, you
yes,
see.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But it was legal for men in later years for men to be naked, but not women.
Yes, of course, the thing they've got to worry about mostly these days in those beaches to our north, and probably in the south here, of course, is shark attacks. You know, there's another thing. Did they have shark attacks in that? Well, they probably didn't.
No, they're all Cronulla footballers, weren't they?
Yes, that's right. They won the game last night, didn't they? But the sharks, the people wouldn't have been swimming at the same time where the sharks would have been in the water, would they, in those old days?
No.
Well, see, that's the thing. You're more likely to get attacked by a shark at sunrise or sunset.
Oh,
that's their feeding times. And if you have a look, that's when most people do get attacked.
Oh,
so
well, of course, I always think that you're in their environment.
You're swimming in their house.
Yeah, swimming in their house, aren't you? Yeah, I was watching that thing on last night with the people with the crocodiles up in the Northern Territory. This woman was standing there with a little dog, and this is. Dirty great big crocodile came right up to the wall.
Look, there's the lunch menu.
And the chap said, the park ranger said, if that little dog had gone in front of her feet, he would have been up there and he would have grabbed the both of them.
Yeah.
But he didn't. But if you swim with sharks, well, you've got to be prepared to sort of look out for them, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And stop looking like dolphins.
Oh, right, okay. That's
on those big surfy board things.
Exactly, right. Well, I guess they do look a bit like dolphins to a shark, wouldn't they?
Well, sharks aren't known for thinking.
No, that's true.
They don't sit there and think, is that a human on a surfboard?
Well,
let me taste.
Well, there's something about that too. Okay, I think it's about time for a little bit more music, though. Let's listen to O L'Amour, and this is from Erasure here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that, and it's lovely to have your company. And in the studio today, we have myself, Gordon.
And Phil.
And Tim.
And Tim, yes. We've got Tim sitting in doing a program with us today, which is great. Thank you very much for giving up your time, Tim. Now, We've got a couple of very interesting people that are having birthdays today. One of them is a great author, American author, who's been around. He's now passed on, but he was a very interesting man. His name is Gore Vidal. Now, Tim, you would remember a bit about Gore Vidal, wouldn't you?
Yes, I was in the United States many years ago when he was at the height of his popularity, or shall we say, or his notoriety,
right?
In yes. some ways,
yes. He was a very interesting writer. His he was actually connected to one of the past presidents. He was a second cousin or something, rather, to a past president. I can never remember which one it is, though. I have read his whole life history, but I can't remember which one the president was.
You mean
was.
Past presidents of the United States of America?
Yes, oh yes, well, yes, well. Yes. He was that high connected, yes, yeah. Yeah. And I think he's something to do with, I'm not sure whether he was Al Gore as well. He's some relation to Al Gore.
Might be, yeah. Yeah.
But he was definitely a very highly, you know, very close related to a president.
And yes, and that's useful in the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he was brought up with a silver spoon in his mouth, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing but I would have thought it would have been gold for Gore, though.
Well, it's not what you know, it's who you know over there.
Yes.
In particular.
Yeah, yeah. He lived most of his life in Europe. He lived a long time in part of Italy. He had a house on the cliff overlooking the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't live in America after a certain time. You've got some information there, Philip.
I'm just reading about the man and his matter-of-fact treatment of same-sex relationships in many of his novels. And because of that, he was seen as an early champion of sexual liberation.
That's true.
And talking about himself in an interview in Esquire magazine in 1969, he said, "Homosexuality is as natural as heterosexuality. Notice I use the word natural, not normal." Commenting on his life's work and his life, he described his style as knowing who you are, what you want to say, and not giving a damn.
That's true. I think one of his first books that I ever read was called The City and the Pillar. And I read that when I was probably 18 or 19, but had to buy it from under the counter.
Oh, yes, that's right.
In a shop in West Australia. I knew where this shop was that sold these books that you could get to the thing, and they sold it in a brown paper bag. Yes. But it was a very good yarn, actually. He's a very good writer.
The same thing happened to, I must mention, another author at that time, James Baldwin.
Oh, James Baldwin, yes.
And because I came back from the United States in 1964. I'd only been away for yes, around that then. And coming through customs, and I had a book by James Baldwin.
What was it, Giovanni's Room?
Yes.
Yes.
And it had a chapter in it, in that the first sort of full on, shall we say, a description of...
Of two men in bed together.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
And you know, the customs officer was looking through it, wondering whether or not he'd let it through.
Yeah, well...
but he read it word for word.
Yes, he would have done too. But he was a great writer, very, very popular writer. And
Gore Vidal, yes.
Yeah, but he was also, as he said, quite acerbic in his attitudes. He didn't stand rubbish from people.
Oh, yes, he wouldn't.
Very straightforward.
Suffer fools gladly.
Yeah,
wouldn't he? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And another person that we have a bit of a thing with today, of course, is Rock Hudson. And Rock Hudson was born on, where am I? He was born on November the 17th, but he died on the 2nd of October as well.
In 1985.
1985. And, of course, him dying put a face to the AIDS epidemic, because he was the most famous person that had ever died of the disease, which was terrible.
And to the general public, he was a straight man.
Yes, of course, but
and
we all knew
he wasn't.
Because
he'd been promoted as that through his whole movie career.
That's right, because he was, you know, the romantic lead in so many movies.
Him and Doris Day. Yes. Nobody would have thought, but we knew because we, like people like yourself that went to America and for holidays and came back, they would sort of say, well, they knew about Rock Hudson being gay, you know, but it was never in the press. You never read it anywhere, you know.
Yes, one kept quiet about such things.
Well, in those days, one did, of course.
I have a message here, which about Hudson married Phyllis Gates.
That's right.
An aspiring actress in 1955. Unbeknownst to Phyllis, the marriage was arranged by her employer, Hudson's agent, Henry Wilson, to keep up appearances. So they're managing his career. This was the studio system, I guess.
Oh, it was.
And I guess in the 1950s, the American household was Ozzie and Harriet, wasn't it? It was Leave It to Beaver, you know, mum and dad.
And the
standard number of kids, and you probably had a dog, and nothing varied from that.
The picket fence days, was it?
Very much so. And who knows what Mr. Hudson was doing while no one was watching.
Well, I saw a documentary recently about that era and so on. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Can't think of it at the moment, but I saw fairly recently a documentary, and it talked about the people who had been partners, unofficial partners, with Rock Hudson. And
there was Cary Grant and the cowboy guy. They were together for years, and they would have the press come in and take photos of their home.
Yeah.
And I forget what his name was, very well-known cowboy actor, Western actor, you know, and he and Cary Grant were together for years and years and years. And Cary Grant finished up marrying. He married Barbara Hutton, the Woolworths heiress, and other women as well. Mm. But
see, Hudson was such a huge name.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, he even got a character, and I'm not quoting The Simpsons, I'm quoting The Flintstones.
Oh, are you? Oh.
Because Gregory Peck was also a large character at the time in mm-hmm. Hollywood. So they had this big movie star coming to the town where the Flintstones lived, and his name was Rockery Hudpeck. So if you're that famous that you get used in a cartoon, then that's about as big as you can get.
Well, I guess it is, isn't it? But most of those cartoons these days, they have famous people in them, like your favourite Simpsons.
Would get the real actor.
They get the real actor, yes. And they have him doing his bits and pieces. Yeah, but the whole AIDS thing, of course, is slipped a bit off the radar these
Except
days.
Except of the news today,
was
which
there?
I read just at midday that we've got the world's first total cure for HIV as a possible happening. In other words, a 44-year-old man in Britain,
yes,
has. He's proved completely cured, or absolutely no trace of HIV in his blood for the first time, and it's a therapy that's been. He's one of 50 people in this trial.
Yeah,
a therapy organised by five universities in the UK, researchers from there, and the five universities all combined for this project. And the breakthrough, it was in the news, I was on television and so on, and I sort of tracked it down for the news today.
Oh, right.
But it really was, it's being seen, if that can be replicated, it'll be the very first time that HIV has been actually defeated. There's been plenty of drugs that have helped to tone down the effects,
yes,
and so on. To manage it, but this time, this is a, if it works, it'll be a total cure.
Oh, that's wonderful news. I didn't hear you read the news today because we were sitting in the studio.
Yes, you were busy preparing.
We were busy preparing stuff for this program, yes, or this show, and invited you in because we needed you. That's a great bit of news, Tim. That really is. It's a very interesting piece of news. And, of course, they've got the drugs that they have these days keep HIV, only HIV. People don't go into AIDS anymore. They just stay with the HIV, which is great.
Provided they get treatment.
Provided they get the treatment, yes. Yeah,
now, before we move on, we should tell our listener that they can contact us.
Yes, they can too.
beenthere@joy.org.au.
All right, you can
write and complain all you like.
You can complain and you can leave us messages and
tell
just
us how good we are.
And we better give a big shout out to Nina and Cupcake.
Yes.
Nina's dog is called Cupcake. And it's a beautiful little dog.
Cupcake is called dog. Not sure.
Yeah. But so Nina's one of our regular listeners, and she can listen to us on the podcast now. That's wonderful.
And do you prefer the emails for people to send, do you?
Oh, yes, they can send emails in. We can't read them while we're doing the show, but they can come. We get them later. They come into the onto our website, our email site. Yeah.
Oh yes, that's right. But I was really asking, do you prefer people to do it by email rather than that's the best method?
Well, see, it's really probably the only way they can contact us.
Oh, yes,
is from
right.
through email. Yeah. So it's a. But anyhow, if you can do that, it's a. What is it again?
It's been there at joy.org.au.
Yes,
that, a nice simple one.
A very simple one. Yes. Okay. Well, I think we might as well have a bit more music. This is A New Day here, and this is from the Shapeshifters here on Joy 94.9.
Hello, we're the Kransky Sisters on Joy 94.9.
And you're with Been There, Done That with Gordon.
Phil. And Tim.
And Tim, yes.
And the Kransky Sisters.
And the Kransky Sisters.
Yes, I love that. 94.9.
We're not the Kransky Sisters, but we are three gentlemen here telling you what's been going on and what's been happening in the world previously and today's, keeping us up to date in a few things too. Thank you, Tim, for the news about the AIDS crisis being, looks like might be over. Now, we're having a birthday today of a very, very famous singer, Janis Joplin. Now, she...
could have done ads for Soothers for years and years and years, but never survived long enough.
Yes, that's true too, because she had two great songs, didn't she, Philip?
In my humble
opinion. Your humble opinion. Mm-hmm.
The Me and Bobby McGee is just a fantastic song, and if you've ever been around New Orleans or Louisiana, you can actually see, you can make visual that song.
Right.
And it's just beautiful. But another song she did was called Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
And I just love a bit of tongue-in-cheek anywhere, but just the lyrics, you know, "Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?"
Yes, that's right.
"My friends all drive Porsches. Yes. We must make amends."
Remember that one, Tim?
Now, vaguely, yes. I know that line. As soon as you said it, I recognised that.
Yes, yeah.
She sang it in a... "Oh, Lord, would you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?"
But she had a real gravelly voice too, but she was a talent that went too soon too, because she was only very young. She was 27, I think, when she passed away.
We think she's one of the members of the 27
Club. Yeah, with the young singers that have passed away at 27.
But she lived a hard
She hit the bottle and hit everything as hard as she could possibly go.
Burning the candle from three ends.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, but still left a legacy with her music, though, because you still hear the songs that she sang still being played on certain
stations.
She
really only had one album.
Yes.
And it was just a gem.
Yeah. Well, you can play almost any song from it, which is what they do, of course. And, of course, the other one we had is a very, very funny man, hugely funny man, English gentleman from the Monty Python series, Graham Chapman.
He died in 1989, which is such a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I guess so. But he was also, he used to write part of the thing with John Cleese. I think he was one of the writers, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And was he Monty Python?
Monty Python,
well,
yeah.
Monty Python wasn't the man.
No, I know that.
But he was one of the team.
Yes.
Yeah, it was actually his birthday is on the 4th of October. It would have been the 4th of October, so he's a current birthday person as well. But
And he was a gay man?
And yes, he was too. And he died in... No, he actually died on the 4th of October, and he was born on... the 8th of January 1941. Yeah. So they lost a great comedian with Graham Chapman. He was a very funny man.
I did a quick Google search, and there's just the heading is John Cleese's eulogy for Graham Chapman, and in quotes starts, "Good riddance."
That's John Cleese, of course. Yeah.
That would have been right up Chapman's...
Yes. Now, another thing that we're celebrating this week too is the introduction of sheep into Australia, would you believe?
Ah, yes. Now, I have a feeling that you're watching about this, yes.
Yes, on the 14th of October, on the 4th of October, 1797, the first of the Spanish Merinos arrived in Australia for John MacArthur.
Ah, now, that was a relative of mine.
Oh, was it?
Pepin brothers. Brothers, and the Pepin was on my mother's side.
Yeah,
I forget what he is. They're the great uncles or whatever. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but at any rate, that's our family. Part of our family history. The Pepins.
What did the Pepins have to do with it?
Well, the Pepin was he was the stud master for MacArthur.
Oh, right.
And
right.
He and his brother, it was he that brought out the sheep.
Yes.
We were 300 merinos, and they were the sheep presented to the King George III by the Grand Junta of Spain.
Oh, right.
And the descendants of that flock formed the 300 brought out to Australia.
Yes, yeah.
And he was MacArthur's stud master. And the Pepin, it was always known as the Pepin breed of Merino sheep. And there's a statue to that at Wanganella Stud.
All right.
In New South Wales, there's a statue of the Pepin sheep. And now 90-something percent of all the Merinos in Australia are of the Pepin breed.
Oh, goodness me. Well, there you go. Aren't we glad we got Tim in on today's program, because he could tell us all about his family history.
All I could have told you before that was a Peter Piper picked a picker picker.
And there's a place called Pepin Point.
Oh, yes.
At Eildon. Named after near Mansfield.
All right,
now, and that's where they all were.
The point with John MacArthur was everybody said it was John MacArthur that did the breeding, but it wasn't John MacArthur at all. It was his wife and studmaster. She was the woman behind the actual Merino thing. She had the studmaster, and they worked together.
Well, the studmaster was Pepin.
Yeah, well, they did together. They worked out which sheep was going to go with which sheep, which ram
right.
with which sheep to give the right thing. And it wasn't John MacArthur at all. It was his wife that did it.
Well, I didn't know about his wife. Oh, that must have been a secret liaison.
I don't think she was having it off with Mr. Pepin.
It's the sheep. That's right.
But everybody said it was John MacArthur that did it. It wasn't John MacArthur. He was always in Sydney.
That's true.
He was always in Sydney doing government work.
The actual property was with Wanganella Stud, and that is now owned, presently, the Wanganella Stud is now owned by the 92-year-old owner of the Herald Sun.
Murdoch.
Murdoch, yeah, Rupert Murdoch. Rupert. That's the Murdoch property.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
well, right. I think it still is now because it's a very valuable property just over the border in New South Wales.
Right, yeah.
Well, we have to apologise to our audience for not being able to find anything interesting to talk about with sheep.
But we did.
We found this sheep expert in our newsreader.
Well, there you go. You see, you just never know who you're going to be talking to on Joy, that's for sure. And it's amazing who we do get to talk to, so that's great.
We should have had a Kiwi come in because New Zealand's a land where men and sheep are nervous.
Men are men and sheep are nervous, that's right.
That's right.
And that's not even rude.
Okay, look at the time. It's getting on to that time where we won't be here again until next week. Tim, you've been here for a long, long time, 22 years as a volunteer and reading the news all that time.
Yes, I have.
And started back in the old days down in St Kilda, down in Coventry Street.
Yes, that's right. And the only thing, the trouble was in those early days, I actually lived, and I was still in the same property, but I was then within walking distance about 4 minutes from the studio.
Yes.
So when we would often have little emergencies, and I'd sometimes be woken up in the early hours of the morning saying, "Hey, Tim,
can you get here quick?"
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this is what happens in radio, of course, isn't it? You know, it's one of those things.
Yes, but mostly in radio, people are paid for that.
yes, true. But we are a volunteer organisation, and there's many people that work in this, about 300 volunteers that keep the station up and running with a few paid staff, which is absolutely amazing.
I was often asked, how many people work at Joy? And I said, about half of them.
That's not very nice.
That's an old one.
That's a very not a new one.
That's almost a granddad joke. Yes.
Well, it's Seniors Week.
Yeah.
I've got old
right.
jokes.
That's a good excuse there.
Yes, it is Seniors Week.
And we're going to top and tail the show with Seniors Week.
Seniors Week, yes. And where do people find out all the information for Seniors Week, Phil?
We pull out our pens and write down this website of seniorsonline.vic.gov.au.
And you'll find lots and lots of things to do there. But there's also something coming up a bit later. There's a dance club.
I hate reading this out.
The alphabet soup.
LGBTI
dance club.
No, it really should be GLBTI, but we won't go into that.
No, that's right, too.
Well, it says here, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex elders and their allies.
Yes.
Now we'd have to put an A on the end for allies.
Yes.
Are invited to a week of stylish movement classes with all the Queen's men. No dance experience is needed, as we will teach you all the simple moves.
Right.
So this is Monday, October 24, so we're a bit early, to October 28th this year, each day from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. And it's at the substation, 1 Market Street, Newport, which is 2 minutes walk from Newport Station. Aren't they full of information?
Aren't they?
It's a free event, but booking is required. So in order to book, you need to contact Tristan Meacham from All the Queen's Men. And his email address is tristan@allthequeensmen.net. And All the Queen's Men is, of course, one word.
Because dancing is one of the things that they have proven to be one of the best things to keep you fit. You don't have to lift a lot of weights and all the rest of it, but dancing is one of the things. They proved it in a study in Germany, which I saw on a series of Catalyst on the ABC, and they have been able to prove that people that dance are the healthiest people that are around.
Yes, I saw that.
It's a very interesting program, Tim.
It was a very interesting program, and in particular, most people have thought for many years that swimming was the best possible exercise. But I saw they tested it with a group of people swimming,
yes,
and people dancing, and
people others, lifting weights.
They were in the gym.
In the
That's
gym,
right.
And it was the dancers that came out with the best. Results
the
of best
all around,
the tests, all round tests,
all
yes.
round fitness.
Yeah, so yeah. If you've been a dancer all your life, you're one of the best people alive, the healthiest people alive, I guess one could say.
I was videoing once through the window here from one studio to the other. I was video. I was caught out dancing in the to the tune that was going at the time.
Yes.
While I was waiting for the news to go on, so somebody cruelly
photographed it. Did they?
Videoed it and put it on Facebook.
So we've got somewhere on Facebook. There's Tim dancing around in the studio,
and now we know why TV newsreaders sit behind a desk.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go play a little bit of music right now. This is our song for the day. It's "Don't Give Hate a Chance." This is from Jim Arakawa, and that's it. So we'll play this song, and we'll probably see you all again next week.
Or you can hear us.
Or you can hear us all again next week, yeah. Once again, Tim, thanks very much for filling in like that. That's
well,
been
saving
wonderful.
Our day.
Well, it's been fun. It's been a pleasure, and I didn't realise some of those topics would come up.
Oh, well, you never know what you're going to get when you come with been there, done that, I can assure you.
Because okay. We never do.
We hardly know ourselves most of the time. But anyhow, we'll go out with a little bit of music here right now, and don't give hate a chance. That's what we always say. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.